For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. Hello and welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. I haven't opened the phone line yet. I want to take your phone calls, of course, but not right now. I want to talk. You know, there's been this phenomenon over the last couple of years of anger and I guess rage. I haven't talked a lot about my friend Rush Limbaugh, and the few times that I have mentioned it, you'd be surprised at the nastiness of people who is some mad at me and some how could you be friends with a guy like that, and some, well, there's no way he could be a friend of yours. Rush Limbaugh was actually a friend of mine. And you know, he one time admonished me to be very careful about who I say is my friend, because oftentimes in politics you encounter someone and have a relationship with them and you say my friend, when really you're not friends, you're just acquaintances. Rush Limbaugh was my friend. I got to fill in for him on radio. You know, I haven't talked about this, but I actually have a button in my office they installed a few months ago that if I pushed it, I would immediately be connected into his board. And we never got to use it. I was sitting on my front porch sometime in December, and my phone lit up with a message from Rush. And he was worried about my wife. See, a lot of people think that Rush had lung cancer because he smoked. He didn't. It was a genetic form of cancer. It was a variant of the cancer my wife has. They caught hers early, and he was texting me in December because he was worried about Christy and her iPhone for years. So Rush and I, we may not always agree on politics, but we would be up at 3 o'clock in the morning trading emails on the latest innovation from Apple or technology articles. It would drive Snerdly crazy. And he was just I had a husbandly obligation to give my wife the bleeding edge technology, and he couldn't understand. My wife hates her iPhone. My wife came home from a trip one time, and the iPhone had taken her off the interstate, and she came home and smashed her iPhone in the kitchen and was so mad that it still worked, she put it in the driveway and ran it over. My wife hates technology. But Rush, he couldn't understand it. And so he's telling me, he says, your wife's chemo is going to impact her fingerprints. I'm sending her a new iPhone. The only question he had was, would she mind that it was a blue one? It was one of the new iPhone 12 Pro Max. My wife has a better iPhone than I do because Rush, in fact, both of my kids have had iPhones that Rush sent them. He was the most generous person I know. And I've always prayed, Lord, if I ever get to a point in my career where I'm in national radio, I want to be able to be as generous as Rush. If you went to lunch or dinner with him, you couldn't buy a meal, not just because he would insist on buying, but you knew if you bought the dinner that the waiter was going to be shortchanged because Rush would essentially tip the value of the meal. It was crazy. When I was a kid, my mom would sometimes send my sister to me back into restaurants to pull money out of the tip. My dad would leave. He was the biggest tipper I knew until I knew Rush. I mean, you have a $500 meal. There's this lobster house down in Palm Beach he loved. You'd go down there and you'd have a couple hundred dollar meal, and he would tip the waiter, basically the value of the meal. And it wasn't because people, people expected it. This is who he was. One time a New York Times reporter went down to Palm Beach to interview him. They assigned him for a new contract, and Premier wanted Rush to sit for this interview. He did not want to sit for the interview, but they kind of told him to. So he sits for the interview with this reporter, and the reporter has to buy the meal, takes him to this restaurant Rush loved. And the reporter has to buy the meal because he's doing an interview, and it would have been unethical to the New York Times' standards. And so Rush had to apologize to the waiter that he wasn't going to get the tip that Rush would normally give him because it was the New York Times guy, and they had a tip policy. So Rush had to go back to the restaurant and tip the guy later after the reporter left because he didn't want the waiter shortchanged by the New York Times. That's the guy he was. That's the guy he was. There was a public persona for Rush Limbaugh largely defined by his critics. The private Rush Limbaugh was the guy who would give you the shirt off his back if you needed it. Rush and I, we mostly texted and emailed because he was deaf. His cochlear implants, they allowed him to hear, but not well. I'll never forget, he found out I was in a hospital dying back in 2016, and he called. One of the very few times that we've had phone calls, he called me out of the blue to check. And, well, I miss my friend. I knew something was wrong. I emailed him a couple of weeks ago, and he didn't email me back. And normally he emailed me right back. Even in the middle of the show, he would be emailing me back. Sometimes if you watched his webcam, he was emailing. Sometimes he was emailing me. This industry would not exist but for Rush Limbaugh. It's like it sprung like Athena out of the mind of Zeus. Talk radio sprung out of the mind of Rush Limbaugh. People did stuff like this, but people did not do talk radio like Rush. No one does. He had the self-assuredness to know that no one will ever do it as well as he did it. All of us do bad impressions of him. All of us trying to be better than we are by being more like him. And no one ever will be. He was not just a friend. He was a mentor. And he was the best in the business. And if your virtues are known by your enemies, Rush Limbaugh is known as a man who loved this country and loved the individual spirit of this country and loved to laugh. Let's go check traffic. Thank you. I assume you all know that I'm a lawyer by training. My parents for years insisted I keep my law license. I still have it. They've insisted for years I keep my law license. And I started Red State. I didn't start it, but came in and really got it going. They got hired by CNN. Was on CNN as a political contributor 5 days a week, had a TV studio in my house, bulletproof windows, no less, in my house, thanks to CNN. Was on TV all the time, got a job in talk radio. In fact, I wasn't going to take this job. When Herman Cain ran for president, they offered me the job. My only experience was filling in on radio in Macon for a guy who got arrested in a crack house and was in jail. They needed somebody to fill in, and it was me, and the WSB thought it was my show and offered me the job. I was going to say no. Rush told me he would never speak to me again if I didn't take that job, so I took that job. I literally wouldn't be doing what I'm doing but for him. The day I finally filled in for Rush Limbaugh on radio was the day my parents stopped asking if I might just need to keep my law license. They knew I'd be okay. And Rush would tell us all, everything's going to be okay. People have asked me all the time, are you sure? Was he a believer? Yes, I can assure you the number of times when I was down, he bucked me up and told me it's all right. God's got this. God's got this for him. I'm going to do something. I haven't said I was going to do it. Surprise to the station. I told Rush I would do this. At that moment, it's been a long time since I told him. He thought it was funny because, he did not share my love of the group, but I'm going to do this for him, and we'll take your phone calls when we come back, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK.
Tide always don't bend. forgiveness crashed and on their way. Father, he enjoyed collisions, others walked away. A snowflake falls in rain. Any doors are open now as the bells are ringing out. 'Cause the man of the outstaken is final.
I can say the backstory here. I told Rush last year, assuming he was headed towards retirement, that when he did, I was playing that song. He because of his cochlear implants, he wasn't really into modern music. He had a lot of music that he loved, and he could hear it in his head because he had heard it so often. But newer stuff. And I am a huge Pearl Jam fan. I got to hang out with Eddie Vedder last year. And I love Pearl Jam and always have, and Rush couldn't fathom why I like Pearl Jam. I told him I was going to play that song. We've all lost a friend, and I don't mean to sound selfish. We emailed on a regular basis. So I discovered Rush on a trip with my dad to look at colleges. We were headed over to my eventual alma mater, Mercer. He was looking for Paul Harvey and stumbled upon Rush. We couldn't find Paul Harvey. We stuck with Rush, and we found a connection with each other over Rush. And I'll never forget the day my dad called me out of breath to tell me he was proud of me. Rush had mentioned that I was his friend already, called me my friend Eric Erickson on radio, and just staggered. My dad nearly ran off the road, called me just as proud as he could be. And we had that connection. I told Rush the story, and he loved it. And it was just, it was so cool to be able to fill in for him. And, you know, so I use a microphone. Our offices use a particular type of microphone. And after I started filling in for Rush, I liked the sound of his microphone better and went out to buy one and one just like it. And he made sure it was the exact same one, other than I wasn't allowed to be gold. He is incredible. Prayers for Catherine, and for David and his family and for Bo Snerdly and them. We'll be back with your phone calls and let you talk about Rush as well when we come back. Hi, Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to call in, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go to, well, if I could move my mouse. Let's go to the phones. Adam and Lilburn, you're going to be first. Welcome.
Hey, just wanted to call in, talk about Rush. My first memory actually was sitting with my mom in the car and just listening to him. I'm not sure what he was talking about, but that voice just, it penetrates your soul. It really does. Just remembering him, remembering his beliefs and what he did, it really just shaped who I am as a person right now. And it's sad to see him go.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Man, I'd love to be a fly on the wall of the conversation where he hands God back the talent that he had loaned him. That'll be a, who has the better voice of God or Rush? I should note tomorrow morning at 9, we're going to have a round table. Neil Bortz is going to be joining us at 9 here. I'm going to, figure out my morning show so that I can be on with you guys as well tomorrow morning at 9 with Scott Slade hosting. I know Eric Von Hessler will be around. I will. Neil Bortz will as well. Please tune in at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and y'all can keep using the open mic app as well. Back to the phones we go. Jerry, you're going to be next. Whoa. Jerry?
Yes.
Hi there. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm an Atlanta native. I just happen to be working out in Portland now. But I've always a constant listener of Rush and you. And, you know, one thing about Rush is that he always was able to help me, because I work in a business that's I'm an oxymoron. I'm a union conservative electrician. So I'm always having to deal with crazy politics. And he always helped me speak to these guys to try to get them to understand where I'm coming from.
All right, so Jerry, I got to ask you, what is going on in the background?
I'm on the construction site at a data center.
Now, do the union rules let you call a conservative show?
I'm sorry.
I needed the levity here. We got to you right as something was clearly in reverse. I'm just concerned about the union rules. Do they let you call a conservative radio show while you're on a union job site?
What they don't know won't hurt them.
All right, Jerry. Let me leave you there because... Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to make one last statement. You know, and I thought, you know, who is ever going to replace Rush? But I have to say, out of all the people I've heard on the radio, I nominate you to be the one to take his mantle and run with it.
Look, I appreciate it very much, Jerry. I really do. Let me leave you there with that. That's very flattering. Nobody can replace you, though. That just none of us can. And, you know, I got to tell you one time, I told him one time that I was very sincere. I said, I don't want to do syndicated radio as long as you're around. Cause I mean, I don't even have a chance of being number one if you're around. And he just matter of factly says, well, no one will ever be number one, whether I'm here or not, I'll always be number one. And I mean, even it's self-deprecating and humorously, but he was also very serious too, that no one will ever be Rush Limbaugh. He will always be he'll be the gold standard. Abigail, you're going to be next. Welcome to the program.
Hi. So I just wanted to call in and say, just kind of on behalf of people in my age group, I'm 22, and Rush Limbaugh was probably one of the first people that I think of when I think of the foundation of my conservatism, or just more generally my childhood listening to talk radio in my dad's truck. And I know there's so many other people my age that feel the same way. And so we're praying for him and his family, and we wanted to thank him for everything he's done for us and in our lives. And the stuff people are saying on Twitter about him is absolutely disgusting. Also, yeah. Wanted to add that.
Yeah. Listen, Abigail, thank you very much. Again, if your vices, a friend of mine said this one time, your friends tell you what your vices are and your enemies tell you what your virtues are. And Rush's enemies say that his virtues are he loves America. Now, let's go see somebody who loves Atlanta and is checking traffic to keep us all safe and get us home. Doug Turnbull. Thank you very much. Y'all, again, remember, tune in tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And I'm happy to keep taking your phone calls as well. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Curly in Loganville, you're going to be next. Welcome.
Thank you, Eric. I'm 70 years old, and years ago I was fortunate to get on the air with Rush, and he made me feel like what I had to say was the most important thing in the world. He had that knack. I never will forget that as long as I live. He was a great American. Thanks for taking my call, Eric.
Thank you very much. I got on one time, and then Bo Snerdly hung up on me. I've never let him forget it either. Jimmy in Gainesville, you're going to be next. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for taking my call, and condolences on the loss of a friend. Thank you. Your previous caller, I never called Rush until it turned out to be his last show, and he was talking about something that really kind of got me going, and I called him, and first of all, I thanked him profusely for, and honestly and sincerely, for his work he does with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, because it took my little brother 50 years ago and took my wife a few years ago, so I appreciate that very much. But I kind of fussed at him a little bit about how harsh he was being on, of all people, AOC. And I told him I don't agree with her politics, but I said, you're being too hard on her for, you know, he's coming down to her. It's almost like he was ridiculing her in my mind. And he came back from the break after my call, and he apologized profusely for miscommunicating. So that's my one contact with the man, and he'll be missed.
Yeah, he is going to be missed. Although I got to say, I was kind of okay that day with what he said about AOC. Let's be honest. She needed to have a daddy, have her grow up and listen to Rush Limbaugh, and all would have been right with the world with her. The amount of people I know who are calling in and likewise who they grew up with their parents, this shows you your kids are like sponges, and they soak up what you indoctrinate them with, what you expose them to. The number of kids who grew up to be conservatives because when they were kids, their parents listened to Rush Limbaugh, so they listened to Rush Limbaugh. What a legacy. Susie and Brooks, you're going to be next. Welcome.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Thank you.
Good. Yes, I'm so sorry for your loss of friend. And I made the comment that, you know, so many personalities pass away, mourn them for a minute, but will be missed for so long. And I'm just so sad that he's gone. I knew it was inevitable because he was sick. I've been dealing with that in my own family for over the same period of time. And when he would come back from being out and I knew he'd had chemo, I knew what he was struggling with. And I just admire how hard he worked and what a great American he was to everybody. And thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you, Susie, very much. His work ethic was just incredible. Monty in Ackworth, you're going to be next. Welcome.
Hey. Well, today will probably be known as Radio's Day of Tears, and I know you participated, and I certainly have. It's very sad. I knew Monday when he didn't show up that this might be the week, and damn it, I was right.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah,
I'm going to miss him. I'm a 32-year listener. Every day.
It's just, man. Yeah, Monty, thank you. I'm having a hard time with it too. I really am. Just sick to my stomach about it. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. I'm back. You know, there are days you don't want to be on the radio or on TV. I've had several of those. This really is one of them. It is. It's difficult. Because, you know, so one of the things when I was getting started in radio, Rush has given me a ton of advice over the years. He was always so generous with his advice. I could always email him if I had a question, and sometimes he proactively reached out. You know, when I uninvited Trump from the 2015 Red State gathering, he, without me even emailing him, he emailed me right away. Here's how to navigate it on talk radio. And you know, he was right. And one of the pieces of advice he gave me when I first got started in radio was, don't get into it thinking you're going to change the world, and don't even try to change the world. That your job as a radio show host was to keep people company. Now, that's actually what he told me. His exact words were, your job is to keep people company. That's how he phrased it. And then you could change the world by keeping people company. And I mean, two generations of conservative activists in this country came to conservatism because Rush Limbaugh changed the country, not by seeking to change the country, but by seeking to keep people company in their office or in their car or at home or wherever they were. The technology changes, and there's so a lack of institutional trust. People don't listen to the station so much as they listen to Rush Limbaugh. They listen to a person. They want trust with a person. And they had trust with Rush, and he connected with people because he wasn't trying to convert them or change them. He was just trying to be their friend and keep them entertained and, as he put it, to keep them company, and he did it so well. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll be back. Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here on this sad Ash Wednesday. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. The Lord who raises us from the dust of the earth takes us home again. The phone number is, what is it? 404-872-0750, 1-800, WSB Talk. The number of people who are reaching out to me by direct message who are too emotional to call. I get it. I appreciate the notes. My team around me admonish me often that I am too engaged with people on social media that reach out and DM, and the number of people who have my cell phone, I think I've got 50 some odd text messages from different people since noon today. And the reason I do it is because that's how I built a friendship with Rush Limbaugh. I emailed randomly. I think at the time it was like rush.comments@eibnet.com or comments. And he emailed back, knew exactly who I was. I was running Red State at the time, gave me his private email address. And we've been emailing ever since. And it was that willingness to interact. And as I got into radio, he told me that it gets overwhelming, but he literally kept his computer on and he read those emails from fans coming in, and he would write back to listeners. He did not find there wasn't a level of pretension in that. He wanted to be engaged with his listeners, and his listeners knew that they could email him and that he would see it. And now I'm like Instagram, and the number of you who interact with me on Instagram, it wears me out sometimes, to be honest with you. I feel like I'm depriving my wife of a husband and my children of a father because I spend so much time interacting with listeners. But I also, you know, I learned it from him. Learn from the best. Copy them. And I did my best. Now I want to continue to take your phone calls. You know, this is one of those things where move on. There is news. You do need to know about this. This is important. The Paulding County District Attorney, Dick Donovan, has been indicted on 4 felony charges, bribery, false swearing, and 2 counts of violation of oath by a public officer, according to Attorney General Chris Carr, who says, "We appreciate the Paulding County Grand Jury for their careful consideration of this case. District attorneys work for the people and swear an oath to faithfully and impartially discharge their duties." According to the indictment, Donovan bribed a prosecutor in a neighboring county to drop criminal charges against one of his employees. The indictment also alleges Donovan made false statements in a sworn affidavit when he denied ever having said that he wanted to have sex with the same employee in his office. Jamie White, the victim witness coordinator, said in a complaint that Donovan repeatedly bought her gifts, kissed her, told her he loved her, and said, well, all sorts of stuff. And she asked him to stop. He denied it. He bribed someone, allegedly. It's a mess. It's breaking right now. You need to know about it. But I would rather let you guys grieve with me on Rush, and we'll do that. But we need to check traffic first. Thank you very much. Miserable traffic out there. Terry in Loganville, you're going to be next. Welcome, Terry.
Hello, Eric. I appreciate you taking my call. Sure. I feel like I lost my best friend in my pickup truck for the past 30 years. That man, he could see the sunshine shining through the darkest of clouds. But right now, that sun is shining on him. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to talk about him.
Terry, thank you, and amen to that. I appreciate you saying that. Rich in Sharpsburg, you're going to be next. Welcome.
Hello, Eric.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
I dabble a little bit in poetry, and I recently wrote an acrostic poem as a tribute to Rush. Wanted to share it with him on the air, never got a chance, so I'm sharing it with you. An acrostic poem is formatted such that the first letter of each line, when read from top to bottom, spells out the subject. So here's my tribute to Rush Limbaugh. Raised in Missouri, but a world to explore. Umpires and airwaves and firings galore. Sacramento, Rio Linda, New York, Pittsburgh, honing skills that made Limbaugh a new household word. Lectures on values and the red, white, and blue. Insider politics from a patriot's view. Marconi, presidential awards through the years, blessed with wisdom and wit for conservative ears. America's real anchor man, whose insights amazed, universally acclaimed, and eternally praised. God will call in his loans. We mortals have no choice. Heaven's golden microphone will gain a new voice.
Thank you. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate that. I'm glad we were able to give you the opportunity to do that. I'm some of the emails I've gotten from listeners who are too grieved to come on, some of them, the personal connections they had. I know I'm not alone in my friendship, and there are plenty of people who have stronger friendships and knew Rush way better than I did. But man, I was in a hotel room in New York City one night. I was on CNN at the time, and WSB, Greg Moshiri, who had been the program director here for a while and then was the outside guy, the talk radio consultant for Cox, was asking if I wanted to be on. And I will never forget, Rush told me he would never speak to me again if I didn't do it. And then he emailed me like 1 o'clock in the morning and said, anything that I wanted to ask him at any time, that if I did this, I could pick his brain about anything, and he kept his word. The amount I've learned from him over the years has been invaluable, and some of it I can't share, but just invaluable life lessons from him. Ash, you're going to be next. Welcome. Thanks for being patient.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
I'm good.
I know it's a rough day. I know. And I'm going to be quick because I know you got a lot of callers, but what I wanted to say to you is, I know that Rush is a very integral part of your career. And I wanted to kind of just give listeners or your listeners or just the whole nation, because you all over everywhere, we don't always have to agree. And as a matter of fact, if you love Rush or you didn't love him, you cannot deny the talent, the greatness, and the excellence in broadcasting that he brought to the mic, behind the mic, and to the nation. Rush was put here to do what he did, and he did what he was put here to do. And he would often say, talent on loan from God. He would say that. Every show he'd say that, which let me know that he knew that this was bigger than him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a king of talk radio, the greatest to ever do it, the master of his craft. Hell, Eric, I didn't even agree with Rush half the time, but he was just that good, I had to listen.
So I just wanted
to say salute. Salute to you, salute to Rush, his family. Like I said, I'm not Democrat, I'm not Republican, I'm not liberal. I just vote whichever way that I see the right way to vote. But guess what? I actually did love Rush. Didn't agree half the time, over half the time. But he wouldn't have cared.
He wanted you to listen. Ash, listen, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Dana Perino, multiple people have just texted me that Dana Perino on the 5 just talked about me and what I wrote about Rush today. If you want to read it, if you text data to 33777, I'll send you back the link to what I wrote. I'm not emotionally, on top of that, my wife got the second round of the vaccine last night and she is so sick today. She hadn't been able to get out of bed. So I was dealing with that today. And then this happened and it's just an emotionally exhausting day. So I would rather you read it than me try to read it to you. So you can text the word data to 33777. I'll be back with more of your calls. I want to say something because I'm getting asked about this from a great many people. Liberals are dredging up comments, supposedly controversial comments from Rush. A whole lot. There are things that Rush said that he later apologized for, things he shouldn't have said. Some things he said I disagreed with him on. There were a vast array of things, though, that people either took him out of context for saying or made up that he said. It's fascinating to me the number of people who have trotted out quotes claiming Rush said things that he never said them. There are a lot of those, particularly on racial topics, things that he never actually said. And there are some things he said and he would say later that he was wrong on and evolved on. And the amount of people who want to hang on him the worst things and pay no attention to the good things he did. I mean, it's very much like Julius Caesar, the evil lives on after you, the good is off interred within your bones, to quote Julius Caesar. Rush Limbaugh talked on air 15 hours a week for 30 years, and that's all they have, and half of it is made up. Pretty damning indictment on them, not him. You talk on radio off the top of your head with no script for 15 hours a week for 30 years, and you can count on your fingers and toes all the things that they have that they claim he said that were offensive. Really shows you just how good he was at his job, particularly when half that stuff is BS. Don't define a person by the one thing. Define him by the whole thing. It's Eric Erickson here, Atlanta's Evening News. I want to take some more of your phone calls. I want to talk about Charlie for a minute. She's been answering the phones today. My producer, right hand here. The very first, I have to talk about Charlie on Fox and Friends in the morning, and I haven't told him, so now he's listening, so he knows. I got to talk about him indirectly. So when I took the job at WSB, I literally had no experience in radio. I was on TV and the local guy in Macon got arrested in a crack house and they needed somebody and that guy was in jail. So they asked me to do it and I had no experience and luck would have it. The head of Cox heard and liked what he heard for some unknown reason. And they gave me the job. I wasn't going to do it. Rush told me that he'd never speak to me again if I didn't. And it was on the job training. I told him I was doing it. And he said, all right, lesson one. This really was his very first piece of advice to me was that get yourself a designated a-hole who could tell me things that no one else could, that anyone else would be fired for telling me. But that person could tell me that and also tell other people no, so I didn't have to. Because very much like Rush hated to tell people no, and so I hate to tell people no. So that's Charlie's job. Charlie got hired. He's the designated one, and that was Rush's advice. And part of it was he said that in this industry, no one will tell you anything other than that you're the golden child until the moment they cancel your contract or usher you out the door, and. He's right, as far as I can tell, in the radio industry, the mendacity of people in radio is just staggering, that everyone is perfect and flawless and everything is hunky-dory, and don't worry about it, everything is fine, and next thing you know, you're being trotted in and told to pack up your stuff, that they've decided to go in a new direction. It's staggering, the lack of honesty in the media industry in general. It's not just radio, but that was his very first piece of advice, and that's why that I needed someone who would tell me the truth, the painful truth, even the truth I didn't want to hear, and also tell other people no on my behalf, because no one else in radio would. And Charlie stalked me on the internet, and he proved his worth, and he is the guy who calls me and says, "What you said today sucked." And no one else does that, which is why he's around it, but he's around because of Rush. That was his genius he knew the industry, and knew what you needed to know. There's a lot of advice I just can't share publicly. He was a compassionate soul and I don't want to say that. Let's go check traffic with Doug Turnbull before I take any more of your calls. Thank you. Now, I've been thinking about this while Doug was talking. One of the pieces of advice he gave me is a piece of advice I think every man needs to hear. Don't deprive yourself of the joy of a family while trying to pursue the joy of a job. And I think every guy, sometimes we define ourselves by work. But he was very serious about that I should not put what I do ahead of my family. And he was one of the very first people to ever tell me that. From his own personal experience, that I should put my family first, which is sometimes hard because I try to be so interactive with listeners. And 5 hours of radio a day now, man, and then TV, I'll be on Fox and Friends in the morning. I'll be on CNN tomorrow. He gave good advice. He was a good friend. Daniel has been waiting very patiently in Monroe. Daniel, friend, how are you?
I'm great, Eric. As soon as I heard it, I think everything in me went numb, and I just sat there looking at the name Rush Limbaugh, and I'm going, I just heard him. I just heard him, and the one thing I started listening to, matter of fact, about the same time, I knew who Rush was, but I never listened to him, but it was about the same time that I started listening to you and to Rush, and of course, I squeezed Sean Hannity in there when I was out campaigning. I had the three of you on for, 6 hours, and he really inspired me to get more involved. I wish that I'd gotten more involved earlier in life in politics, but even at the early age of, 42, Rush really inspired me to take a leap, and I'm going to file some paperwork in the next election cycle and try to run for office because he really inspired me. If you really love the grassroots, get in there and do it. And as listeners, we all need to find a way to continue Rush's legacy and remember him because, like people have said, there will be no other Rush.
Amen to that. Thank you very much for that. David, you're going to be up next. Welcome. David.
Yes, I'm sorry, Eric.
No, that's
all right. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. This morning, God decided he needed a talk show host for Radio Heaven, so he sent for the goat. The rest, I'm going to leave to you and all the other conservatives to explain the greatness of this man. Thank you, sir. It's been a blessing.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Great man he is. Wolf and Noonan, you're next.
Hey, I just grew up listening to Rush. I'm from Southern Illinois originally when he was over in Cape Girardeau still. And in all the years, every time I saw him just glow or listen to him glow was when he was talking to a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was a special person when a young caller called in. He just glowed on the air, through the radio.
He did. He loved it. He knew he was doing something great. Wolf, thank you. You know, my own kids, he sent them iPhones and books, the Rush Revere books, sent to the kids. He loved to build the next generation of the conservative mind. Brad, you're going to be the last caller. Welcome.
It's crazy. I'm from Southern Illinois also, and I remember whenever Rush left KGMO, and my mom was so disappointed because, I mean, from the time I was little, remember listening to Rush, and I know you don't want to hear this, but dare I say, he's passed the torch to you, man. he has.
I don't know
if that's a torch you can carry or not, but you guys were both very Christian men, and you didn't jump at a story. You waited until you guys knew the facts.
Well,
and I very much respect both of you for that. And I'm even getting a little teary-eyed now. But,
well, look, I gotta let you go there, Brad. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. There will never be another Rush. It's Eric Erickson here. Thank you for tuning in today. It was a hard day. I have over 70 text messages received in just the last couple of hours. Many of you who sent them are listening right now, and I'll respond to everybody. It's going to take a little while. It's just a hard day. Sad day. Pray for Catherine Limbaugh, please. It wasn't that long ago. She also lost her father. Now she's lost her husband. Pray for the crew at EIB Network as well. They've lost not just a boss, but a dear friend. So many of us have. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Be here at 9 a.m., please.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.